session on Senate Bill 962A. And I'd like to call Matt Blevins, I believe, to...
We're going to do an amendment.
Chair Anderson, members of the committee, for the record, Matt Blevins, Legislative Affairs Director with the Oregon Environmental Council. We are willing to go with the dash 10 amendments that have been offered at this point. While they're not ideal for the bill, we see it taking a positive step in the direction we'd like to go with this legislation. We'd like to see the committee adopt those and move forward, and move the legislation to the floor.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm having trouble hearing.
Can we turn that up a little bit?
Chair Anderson, Representative Barnhart,
can you
apologize.
Hear us? All right.
So we're willing to support the dash 10 amendments as submitted to the committee and encourage the committee to adopt those and move the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Any questions? All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Mr. Marquis, I think I'll call you to maybe introduce and speak to Dr. Dawson, if you had any description of what the dash 10 amounts to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jim Marquis on behalf of the American Chemistry Council, Bromine Science and Environmental Forum. I had offered, with the chair's help, two alternatives in the way of amendments to this bill. The dash 11s were our first choice, which would have deleted section 4 from the bill. We had agreed that we would agree to the dash 10 amendments if everybody else signed off on the dash 10s and that we put this thing to bed once and for all. They simply allow the Department of Human Services to monitor other appropriate studies on DECA, the chemical in question, and to submit a summary review of those relevant new studies and recent rulings by the EPA and the European Union, and recommendations regarding the disposal of products containing penta and octa to the legislature in January of each even-numbered year. That would, of course, begin next year. And we repealed this section December 31st, 2008, which would give basically 4 years or 5 years down the road in terms of two. In other words, they would do this for 4 years. There are two reports, I guess, one next year and one in 08. So because we didn't feel it was appropriate to go on forever with this monitoring, since it does cost about $40,000 a biennium. So with that, those are the dash 10s. And as long as everybody else is in agreement and the bill is not amended any beyond that, we would be okay with that and not oppose the bill.
All right. Any questions of Mr. Murphy? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, as I understand it, then, there's a number of changes that this amendment makes. One of them deletes the other chemicals, which I won't try to pronounce, at the top of page 5. And at least two of which we never heard any testimony about. You may not want to correct that oversight either. I don't know. But if I understand it correctly, the dash 10s limit the study to DECA.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, first of all, I want to clarify that DHS is not conducting a study. We're not asking Department of Human Services to conduct a study of their own. We think there are more qualified people in the world than them to do that. They are simply monitoring other studies that are done by scientists throughout the world and actions of the EPA and the European Union in the area of DECA. And yes, their activities would be limited to DECA because we believe that is the substance in question, the product in question in this bill, or at least that questions have been raised about. The proponents of the bill put other those other items in there, and we would not be supportive of that. And you're absolutely right. There has been no testimony relative to those other products.
Thank you.
Dr. Dawson, would you like to make any comments?
Yes, let me keep it brief. Certainly, our concerns with the bill as it currently stands are, as currently written, there is a clear presumption that DECA BDE is a harmful material and that it should be substituted by alternatives. And I believe that the science which supports the product does not justify that position being taken. If we adopt the position as suggested within the current, as currently written, Section 4, it leads to the very real possibility that we replace a product about which we know a great deal and for which little risk has been identified with other products about which we know a lot less. And that, frankly, is not a well-considered position to go to and has the possibility of creating many problems for the future.
Thank you. Maybe you touched on this a little bit. It was our understanding from some prior testimony that the DECA had been banned by the European Union at one point, but has since now, that's been repealed or at least set aside, and there is no ban on it in the European Union. Is that correct?
Let me be precise. DECA is currently included within a directive which controls the use of certain substances in electronic and electrical equipment. In March of this year, the European Commission made a formal proposal to exempt DECA from that directive. And that exemption is based on the findings of the European Risk Assessment, which did not identify any clear risk in the use of DECA today. We are now going through the process in Europe to validate that recommendation. It will be reviewed by the Council of Ministers in June, and we have every expectation that DECA will be exempted from the ROS Directive as recommended by the European Commission.
Thank you. Any other questions for Dr. Dawson? We have
yes,
one.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Nolan.
Dr. Dawson, given what you just said, isn't it fair then to consider that proposal to be essentially, in our terms, a bill to exempt DECA, and until it is approved, it is only a proposal. It doesn't have the force of any law or regulation.
When the ROS Directive was originally written, it was recognized that the position of DECA needed to be reviewed in the light of risk assessment. And indeed, the directive called for review of DECA's position as a matter of high priority. And that is what is now taking place. So whilst what you say is technically correct, the process that we are going through is in recognition of the fact that the risk assessment is an extremely important tool in evaluating the suitability in using DECA. And I'm happy to say that that risk assessment has resulted in no identified need for risk reduction and has resulted in the clear recommendation from the Commission to carry forward the exemption of DECA.
That's what I said.
We have one further testimony to be given. You may wish to stick around with us, Dr. Dawson. Senator Jeff Cruz, a sage senator from Douglas County.
Actually, we have very little sage in Douglas County. It's too wet. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jeff Cruz, Senate District 1. I also serve on the Health Policy Committee on the Senate side that heard this bill. And I ended up voting for the bill that came out of the Senate simply to position myself to be on the conference committee when the bill came back from the House. And as I'm hearing now, that may turn out to be have been an unnecessary move, but you know, it seemed like the right thing to do at the time. The problem I had with the bill as it came out of the Senate was the fact that it was requiring a significant amount of work by Department of Human Services. And when I look at the volumes of stuff we dump on that department to do, I'm not sure this rose to that level. And the reason I say that is quite simply because a lot of the testimony you have heard in reference to DECA and the need to eliminate it was based on laboratory studies. And we know what you can do with laboratory studies. You know, whoever funds a study can probably get the results they want because you can take rats or whatever and bombard them with high levels, high concentrations of virtually anything and get a negative result out of it. But what we heard in the Senate committee was the fact that there has been a 10-year study in Europe on humans, of all things. And that's the basis of the process they're going through right now to eliminate the prohibition on DECA. And I think that will happen. And it's quite simply because, you know, that's sound science. A whole decade worth of studies that shows no impact on humans, I think, is more relative than a study based on what you can do in a laboratory. So, you know, my real concern was putting more work on Department of Human Services on an issue that has been incredibly studied already. And so if the amendment now just takes it back to them compiling data from other reports so that we can stay informed, I think that's appropriate. And ultimately, I think that's something I could support. We need to be very careful about political science masquerading itself as real science, and I think that's a problem here. You know, the prohibition of Octa and Penta is clear and distinct. I don't think there's any issue with that. You know, and I think we are going to see, for example, the computer industry moving away into something else because guess what? Plastic is getting to the point where it's going to be fireproof by itself, probably. You know, markets tend to create what markets need. But I think the thing that was most alarming to me was the videos we saw of the types of fires that are created without some sort of fire protection. And I have inadvertently dumped enough plastic in brush fires that totally accidental that I have burned on the farm to know that stuff is toxic. I mean, that stuff is bad. And, to think that we're going to have a risk-free world is not realistic. Trade-offs have to be made, and I think the ability to have our homes and the things in our homes relatively safe from inadvertent fires outweighs the marginal and unproven detrimental effect that we would see with this product. So as I understand, and I haven't seen the new amendment, but as I understand, the amendment basically calls for Department of Human Services to compile data. They don't have to do any studies. And it sunsets. I think that's an appropriate amendment and one I can live with. I'd be willing to answer any questions.
Questions? Representative Gerard.
Would Senator Cruz be willing to raise your right hand or repeat after me?
Yeah, I can do that, yeah. It's nice to see you all again, by the way. So,
have you back with us.
Yes. Well, thank you all very much.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Senator. Mr. Cravens, did you want to briefly?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Craven with the American Electronics Association. Sounds like we're wrapping this up, and so I just want to say thanks to the committee for struggling through this. I know anytime you have an afternoon hearing and the PowerPoint presentation has pictures of chemical bonds and such, it gets a little bit deep. But I think what the Senate committee and this House committee has wrestled through and come to a conclusion that is in line with the same thing that has happened in other states who have wrestled with this issue, looked at the evidence the best they could, found out that there is a difference between two things and one thing, and that pentanocta are probably bad, and we've made rapid progress to eliminate them. And DECA is, the science does not indicate that to this state. And I think that's the conclusion other states have come to, including California. It appears to be where Europe is moving. The same conclusion your Senate Health Policy Committee came to. So I appreciate your taking the time to work through this, and for all the people behind me who spent a lot more time on it than I did to wrestle with this. And we are fine. We would support the Dash 10 amendments and support passage of the bill. And I think, you know, whether we had Section 4 or not in the bill, the science is going to be ongoing. Oregon is not going to make probably a unique contribution to that science through our Department of Human Services. California legislature has authorized continued studies. Washington just did the same. These studies are ongoing, and they're ongoing globally. If there's a change or a breakthrough in that science, I think you'll know about it. It will be brought to your attention, whether or not from our own Department of Human Services or advocates or whatever. I don't think there'll be a maiden shift in global attitudes towards DECA that you won't know about. So I think we'll continue to look at this issue and maybe be back next session on some additional science. And so I appreciate your support, and thanks for taking the time to work through what is an admittedly difficult issue.
Thank you very much. I see Representative Berger, who brought this very simple, smooth-flying piece of legislation before us, is here. I'd like to invite her up.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, State Representative Vicki Berger, District 20, thank you all very much for your hard work. As you have seen, this is pretty heavy sledding in terms of the chemistry and what we're faced with. I know that a lot of folks have worked extremely hard to come to some language that can be agreed upon, particularly with regard to the DECA. I would like to recognize the parties who, particularly with the chemical industry, who have worked very hard to come to agreement on the study and what we do in the future. I think that Mr. Craven is exactly correct. This will get further attention from the scientific community, from all of us, as needed, as the science is perfected. In the meantime, your attention to this and all of your hard work on behalf of this is deeply appreciated, and I wholeheartedly approve of the Dash 10 amendments.
Thank you. All right. No questions. We are in work session, so I'll entertain a motion on the Dash 10.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 10 amendment to Senate Bill 962A.
Representative Nolan moves the Dash 10 amendments to Senate Bill 962A. Do I hear any objections? Any discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Lynn?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative
Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative
Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Chair Anderson? Chair votes aye.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Nolan?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 962A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nolan moves the 962 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any objections? Do I hear any questions or discussion?
All right. A sigh of relief.
That's coming from the back of the room. Yes.
Thank you. I'd just like to comment that when Representative Berger was testifying, she was eloquent but neglected to mention that she played an absolutely crucial role, and I can testify to that because I had seen her bouncing all over the building from the lounge on the fourth floor to the floor of the House, and I know that she did a great deal of work in bringing this bill to its present happy state. And although I liked the bill quite well when it came to my desk originally, and I liked it almost as well when it came over from the Senate, I think that this is a good first step, and I'm very glad that we'll be able to move it out with a bipartisan show of support.
Thank you very much, Representative.
Sure.
I'll call for some heartfelt but silent applause.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Porter.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I want to second those comments and also thank the good representative for her work. I simply wanted to note, in addition, that I think that Dash 10s on reflection are a good approach to the issue. The different information that we've received about DECA is at worst ambivalent. At best, DECA is safe. And I don't know of any way of figuring out for sure whether the ambivalent part turns out later to have some effect, other than to continue looking at the issue, which is going to happen. So I think that the bill's approach is a good one. We certainly need the bill because of the prohibitions that contain other aspects of the bill, and I think it's a good result for this session. We may very well, as information develops, believe something different later, but for right now, this should be good.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. The clerk will call a roll.
Representative
Lynn?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Representative
Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative
Roller? Yes. Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 962A, as amended, has been moved to the floor by a constitutional majority.
I'm willing to bet that Representative Berger would like to carry this on the floor, sir.
Wonderful suggestion. Thank you. I'll close the work session on 962A and open a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 66. Thank you, Dr. Dawson, if you're still with us.
Yes, I am, and again, I'd like to thank you for the consideration and allowing me to join you by teleconference today. And again, I'd like to add my congratulations to the committee in dealing with what is a very complex issue, and I think arriving at a very sound end result. Thank you.
Hope you'll have a wonderful trip to in D.C.
Thank you very much indeed. Bye for now.
Good. All right. Let me. We don't have anyone here yet to speak to Senate Bill 66. I don't believe, do we?
We've heard the bill before.
Work session. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 66.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Jensen.
Are you ready for motion?
I am.
I move Senate Bill 66 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Jensen moves Senate Bill 66 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Hearing none, any discussion? Seeing, yes, Representative Greer.
Mr. Chair, I've been a no on this bill all the way through, and I'll continue to be a no today.
All right.
The Chair?
Yes.
I'm not comfortable with this bill, but I'm willing to give a chance to work next session on this bill, so I will be voting yes for this one.
With the opportunity to change your vote on the floor if needed?
Possibly.
Okay. All right. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Representative Berard?
No.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Excused.
Representative Lynn?
Aye.
Chair Anderson?
Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 66, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Be happy to.
What do you think about consent calendar? Make it easy.
Can't. You can't.
Oh, that's right. We have assuming majority.
My buddy.
All right. Thank you. If you would, we'll have Representative Jensen Curry. Would Representative Nolan like to vote on 66?
Sure.
How do you vote?
Yes.
All right. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 66. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 79. And I believe the one gentleman that was looking to testify is not here. So I will ask for a motion on Senate Bill 79.
Mr. Chair, move Senate Bill 79 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Jensen moves Senate Bill 79 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objection? Any discussion? Clerk will call a roll.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Lynn?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Chair Anderson?
Chair votes aye. The Senate bill.
Mr. Chair, I recommend this might be prime for the consent calendar.
I think so too.
That's what I was hoping. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just as a matter of curiosity for the good Representative Nolan, is here count for yes or no?
Did I say here?
Yes, sir.
I thought I said yes.
She said yes, which is an aye.
Oh.
I assumed it was an aye anyway.
Yes, I did means
too.
Aye. Here means.
All right. Any discussion or objection on Senate Bill 79?
No, going to the consent calendar. We've already passed it.
Oh, that's right.
We've passed it. I'm just recommending it go on the consent calendar.
Senate Bill 79, having received a constitutional majority, is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation and will be on the consent calendar. All right, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 79. Open a work session on Senate Bill 737A. Yes, could we have a staff report?
Yes. Mr. Chair, at our last meeting on this bill, both Representative Gerard and Representative Barnhart raised the issue about whether a state agency would be required to get all of the necessary state and local permits, licenses, and other kinds of siting approval that they might need in order to construct an electricity generating facility. We have a -2 amendment to Senate Bill 737A that you have in your packet, and it simply adds a requirement that reads, and has received land use or other state and local siting approval, to the language of the bill, to clarify that, in effect, they would have to have all the necessary permits related to siting the facility before they built it.
Okay.
You?
Yeah. Representative Gerard, does that deal with the notwithstanding usage that you were concerned about?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm satisfied with the amendment.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Graney, would you like to speak for a moment? Speak for as long as you like.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be brief. Mike Graney from the Department of Energy. Mr. Hauser explained the purpose of the amendment, and we support the amendment. The intent of the bill was not to waive any required permits or approvals by state or local governments, so we support the amendment, and hopefully it addresses the concerns that Representative Barnhart and Representative Gerard raised.
All right. Thank you very much. We are in work session. I'll entertain a motion to move the -2s. Representative Curry.
I'm sorry. Are you ready to move the -2s?
If there's no discussion.
I would move the -2s to Senate Bill 737A.
All right. Any objection or discussion? All right, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Lynn?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Chair Anderson?
Chair votes aye. I'll entertain a motion to pass Senate Bill 737A-2. Representative Gerard.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 737A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Excellent. Any objection?
I just have a question.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the previous staff measure summary said the bill had a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you.
And this one doesn't say that, so...
Yeah,
I'm wondering, has it been lifted? It does. It says no fiscal impact at the top of both of them, but...
Does it have it?
No.
No.
It does not have.
No.
I think the 513...
Says that it does, but that could be an error.
We don't want to get the chair in sideways with this.
Deep trouble. Well, 517 says no fiscal impact.
It says no fiscal. Maybe. Is it 517? I think it's 516.
516, yeah. 517.
Here, okay.
Maybe we had better send it down there and let them deal with it from there. Could we have an amended motion?
Mr. Chair.
What are you referring to, Representative? What's the language you're referring to? Is that what?
Just a paragraph of that.
Well, let's stand at ease. And John, if you'll send it.
Yeah, I'll check.
I mean, given that it has no
Mr. Representative Noel, the question was whether funding is continuously appropriated to the agency. I believe that is. That's already in the bill. And then one of the amendments that the Senate did make was to clarify that no project could go forward without the agency having the budget authority for that project. So I think that was intended to address that. And
there is a possibility that the surplus could be... could add up to some dollars.
Yes. Mr. Chair, if I might add.
Mm-hmm. It's bad.
Yes. Yeah. My apologies to the committee. When I first did the SMS on this bill, I saw the same thing you did, that it had no fiscal and no revenue. However, upon checking with the Speaker's office, they did attach a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee because of the issue that the Chair just mentioned, and that was that there was a potential for one of these facilities to generate additional revenue that would be placed in the budget of the affected agency, and therefore they wanted the Ways and Means Committee to look at the potential that might occur. So there, yes, there is a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee on the bill.
And Mr. Chair, I suspect that the amendment we've just added gives the Ways and Means the mechanism to control that anyway, and that wasn't in the original bill, but...
Mm-hmm.
Better to be safe than sorry.
I'm going to have to change the motion.
Doesn't get lost.
We are in work session. I will ask you to amend so that the bill as amended goes to Ways and Means.
Budget.
Budget. Right. Hopefully Ways and Means.
Hopefully.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I would withdraw my original motion and substitute. I move Senate Bill 737A as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Budget.
Oh, it says Ways and Means here.
Well,
that was before.
Well, may not have been.
No, come on.
17th.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
And rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
Don't need the rescind.
You don't need to?
No.
Technically,
this is a virtual.
Right. Yeah, technically, the motion should be to rescind the referral to Ways and Means and refer to budget.
There is no Ways and Means. You don't need to rescind.
Been disbanded.
They've been shown up on the blue sheets that way.
Well,
and the committee still exists, even if it's not meeting.
I don't care if you don't need
it. I will accept the motion as amended to show that it will not go to Ways and Means, but will go to budget. Any objection?
Nope.
Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Lynn?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Chair Anderson?
Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 737A, as amended, with a rescinded motion to Ways and Means, will be referred to the Revenue Committee. To the Budget Committee. We'll get this right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. I'm sorry?
Now we have to session.
Yeah, let me close the work. We'll close the work session on 737A, and I'm opening a work session on a possible approval of a bill drafting request.
Thank you, Mr.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We want to propose a drafting request from this committee to Legislative Council. We have worked through the ifs, ands, and buts about it with Bruce, and this is a process that he is asking us, take with this. Specifically, there's a situation that has appeared because of a recent Court of Appeals case that requires some amending or modification of three bills two bills that passed out of this body in the last session, in the 03 session, specifically bills having to do with mitigation efforts in the Deschutes River Basin, the Deschutes Basin. And the purpose of the bill draft would be to attempt to correct that situation.
All right. Discussion? Representative Barnard.
The Court of Appeals misunderstood us?
It would appear that way, yes, Representative.
Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion? Objections? Did you move?
I would move that we to submit a bill draft to the Court of Appeals, to the Legislative Council.
So moved.
Court of Appeals.
Representative Jensen moves that we request a bill drafting. Is that it?
That's sufficient.
Okay, great. Clerk will call a roll.
What bills do we have any? Just a drafting of bills.
Request to draft a bill.
Could we do that without our action? Or? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm told by Bruce.
Okay.
This is not a committee bill, and therefore.
Oh, okay.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Lynn?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Excuse.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Chair Anderson?
Aye. The request to draft a bill has been approved. All right. Any other business? Seeing none, we are adjourned.
Nice work, Mr. Chair.
Well done. Good work. Sign that.